Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. My name is Mark Shiver. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. And we're going to talk about something very, very important, something that really does matter. And that is your eyes. Yep, your eyes. Did you know that House Bill 36 in the North Carolina House of Representatives, filed by Representative Justin Burr, it would make some pretty significant changes to the opportunities that you have to receive eye care. It would open up optometrists being allowed to perform certain surgeries. In fact, the better way to put that would be it would allow them to perform procedures with the exception of 17 that are listed in the bill. And so who knows how many other procedures that would open up to them. And so it's really changing the landscape of eye care potentially. Now, we're going to talk with Dr. Sarah Stoneburner, and she represents North Carolina's ophthalmologists, and they're not too fond of the bill. And you can imagine that they would not be fond of the bill. Some cynical folks might say, well, you know, they're trying to keep their slice of the pie. But I think she's going to say that they're looking at this through the lens, pun intended, of patient safety. And so really pleasant, enjoyable person. I met her just a few minutes ago, in fact, in the studio, Dr. Sarah Stoneburner, and I think you'll enjoy listening to her explain the position of the ophthalmologists on House Bill 36. And so without any further introduction or ado, let's talk about your eyes on What Matters in North Carolina. Joining us now on What Matters in North Carolina is Dr. Sarah Stoneburner, and she is the president of the North Carolina Society of Eye Physicians and Surgeons. Dr. Stoneburner, welcome.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Well, we appreciate you coming into our studio today, and tell us a little bit about the North Carolina Society of Eye Physicians and Surgeons.
This is a society here in North Carolina of the ophthalmologists. So we are physicians first. We've been to medical school and done internship and residency, surgical residency in ophthalmology. And so we're dedicated to taking care of people here in North Carolina and their eye needs, their eye care needs, medical needs and surgical needs.
So I guess one of the things, well, the reason that I wanted to have you on the program is there's a bill in the North Carolina House of Representatives, House Bill 36, and it would allow optometrists to do certain things that they're not allowed to do right now. Before we get into that, what would you say is the biggest difference between an ophthalmologist and an optometrist in terms of training and all of that?
Oh, thank you. The optometrists have been to optometry school, which is a 4-year degree. Okay. And the ophthalmologists are actually physicians first. Mm-hmm. So we've been to medical school, 4 years of medical school, and then done internship and residency training.
Wow. So that's a little bit more.
Yes, sir. So following college, 8 to 10 years, many people also do a fellowship for additional training. So this is very supervised and very intensive, and all this training, and the purpose is to take good care of patients and try to promote patient safety to be the best we can.
So I guess training then would be the number one difference. It sounds like optometry school, 4 years plus whatever college they went to, ophthalmologists having the college and the medical school and then the other stuff on top of that. So it's seems to be a lot more.
Yes, sir. So think about your cardiologist or your family medicine doctor. Other surgeons, we're physicians first, mm-hmm, with medical school, and then internship and residency, which is very closely monitored and proctored, and apparently over 17,000 hours,
wow,
of patient care training. So thousands and thousands of hours, and it's really for a good purpose, is to try and help us be the best we can.
So now, do ophthalmologists, if I wanted to get my eyes examined, for example, could I get that same exam at an ophthalmologist office as I would at an optometrist office, or do you guys do primarily more advanced stuff?
We see people for all their eye care needs. So you may come for what you might consider a routine exam or glasses mm-hmm. or contacts, that kind of thing, but also for medical eye problems. And sometimes you might not realize you have a medical eye problem, and that might be diagnosed. And many of the health problems that people have, we can see evidence of that in their eyes. And in general health problems can affect your eye health. And we also take care of surgical problems as well.
Wow. So this is kind of coincidental, and not to get too personal here on this show, but I had an eye problem.
Yes, sir.
About a week ago, still going through it. And I went to my optometrist immediately. I discovered the problem on a Sunday. Monday morning when they opened the doors, I was there, and they did their, you know, exam and all that, and they immediately sent me to an ophthalmologist. And I had to, this sounds horrible, at least it did to me and still does, I had to have a injection in my eye. And the thought of getting a needle in the eye is not real pleasant, but it actually turned out to be not that big of a deal because they numbed it up and all of that. But I thought it was interesting that this bill is out here, and I'm writing about this and talking about it on this program because of personal experience. It's coincidental that I'm actually going through this. And I found myself, I guess maybe subconsciously, feeling that I was more comfortable going to the ophthalmologist for that injection in my eye as opposed to just doing it with the optometrist. Now, as far as I know, maybe the optometrist could have done it. You know, maybe it would have been identical, but at least in my mind, I had more comfort going to the ophthalmologist.
Well, we are trained in eye health issues, such as your problem. And first of all, I want you to know we're always on call 24/7 every day. So this wow. last weekend, I was on call over Easter, and I saw a number of patients in the office, which was my great pleasure to do.
Wow.
And so we provide care 24/7 in our offices and cover emergency rooms around the state. And we're there for you. As far as your problem, this bill actually would authorize optometrists to perform those injections as the bill is worded. Obviously, that would be concerning, and there are many risks that could occur. Part of it is recognizing what the problem is and what the treatment options are. And injection for what you had is a very wonderful option, but it has significant risk. And it's very easy to have complications from an injection like that, particularly infection. So you have to be very meticulous.
Wow.
And it's very important, and that can save your vision, that injection. So you definitely want to keep up that care. Thank goodness you got called early.
Well, it very was wonderful. It's very disconcerting, to be honest with you, without going into a lot of detail. I just, all I could see in the center of my eye was a big black circle, like pictures of the sun being eclipsed, and apparently it has something to do with a blood vessel and all that.
Sure,
but
sure.
So the motivation, I guess, for the optometrists is they would like to expand their practices, obviously. They would like to be able to do more, which would be beneficial to them, I guess, financially. But at the same time, and this is just I'm going to say this because I've heard this and would like to see how you would respond to it. You know, it could be said at the same time that ophthalmologists don't want to give up their share of the business. You know what I'm saying? Here's optometrists wanting a bigger piece of the pie. Ophthalmologists don't want to give up their slice of the pie. So how do you balance that kind of thought process out?
My concern is with patient safety. We need to have safe surgery here in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Ophthalmologists are trained and can provide this level of care. And I worry about complications and problems in the hands of someone who may not have that experience. The years of training and dedication and learning do matter. And you cannot replicate that in a short time, such as a weekend course or even a week or two course. And so I worry about patient safety. As far as anything financial or business, that is not my concern a bit. I just care for patients.
You know, you mentioned a weekend course, and I spoke with Dr. Cynthia Bradford of the American Academy of Ophthalmologists on the telephone, and she mentioned the same thing. I'm looking at this bill, however, and I don't see those words. So help me understand here. If doctors of optometry don't have this training now, are you saying that they would be going to classes on the weekend to learn how to do certain procedures? Is that, where is that coming from? Because I don't see it in the bill.
I believe that's coming from other states, and this bill would take the practice of surgery out of the hands of the North Carolina Board of Medicine. This is radical. This is dangerous. This is unprecedented in North Carolina.
Really?
And the Board of Optometry, who are not physicians and not surgeons, would determine the recommendations or requirements to performing over 200 procedures, 200 surgical procedures plus, that would be included in this bill. Virtually everything I do, after all my training, minus of just a handful of things.
Well, certainly, you know, when you say a weekend class, that's like, you know, a seminar or something, and certainly that would not engender a lot of comfort on the part of patients, I don't imagine. But at least one would think, at least not knowing any better, I would think that if this bill were passed somehow before optometrists started, you know, doing what this bill will allow them to do in terms of surgery and injections and those types of things, that they would certainly have to get more training. But I honestly don't see that in the bill, so I'm not sure how they would implement that.
Mark, there are no shortcuts. So all those thousands and thousands of hours of training are important. That's important for protecting the public and public safety. And I think it's the legislator's job to protect the public. Just like we have policemen and firemen and emergency personnel to protect the public, we need to protect public health. And so I think it's the responsibility of the legislators to be very cautious and responsible. I think this bill is irresponsible.
Well, there's a article that was in the Charlotte Observer today or yesterday, actually, and apparently Kentucky has passed a similar bill, and in the bill it talks about how in North Carolina optometrists would be performing certain, and I don't know what all this means, but laser capsulotomies. It says here that we have seen complications after the procedure, such as a worsening of macular degeneration. So I guess Kentucky, according to this article, has had some of the challenges that you're alluding to, that perhaps, you know, this lack of training and experience can cause problems.
Yes, my understanding is this bill was rammed through in Kentucky in a short period of time, approximately 2 weeks.
Wow.
Prior to people having adequate time to examine it. And the current time, 8 of 10 people in Kentucky are against the bill and wish it had not passed. Right now in the United States, this level of this, what's contained in our bill, it is not allowed in 47 states or in District of Columbia or Puerto Rico. So I think we here in North Carolina have three of the best training programs in the whole country, in the whole world, Duke, Carolina, Wake Forest, where we're having excellent levels of care generated for our citizens. And there's just no reason to water down our safe surgical standards that we have in place now.
Well, let me ask you this. In terms of, there was a study done also in Oklahoma. I think they passed similar legislation. And the folks from the optometry side of the scale in an article that was in WRAL said that the study, for those that are not familiar of it, it's referred to as JAMA, it was a Journal of American Medical Association study on after effects of this happening in Oklahoma. And so the folks from the optometry side of the equation said that the study was actually funded by the American Academy of Ophthalmology for the purpose of fighting back on this expansion of the optometrist's scope of practice. And went on to say there have been no quality of care issues on any of these procedures that we're looking to do, although this study indicated that there were some challenges. And before you answer, this quote went on to say, optometrists aren't starting from scratch. They learn how to treat glaucoma and all these diseases in optometry school. They treat glaucoma in their practices every day. They do pre- and post-op care for all these procedures for cataract surgery. Students in optometry school today are learning how to do these procedures, so they're coming out of school already trained and prepared to do them on day one. Your response to that?
Let me just start, because you brought up the American Medical Association. I just want you to know that they're against this bill.
Right.
As is the North Carolina Society of Medicine, the Medical Society here in North Carolina. But as far as no complications, that's just simply not true.
Okay.
So we know that there are many complications and have reports of that. And this is a peer-reviewed journal, and so I think it's based on medical on evidence, and that's important to recognize. And the authors are affiliated with universities and would have would be unbiased, in my opinion.
So peer review means that other physicians look at the
it's
the study and monitor, the methodology and monitor.
Yeah, and this is a highly regarded journal and reviewed by others, and it would not get in there if it were biased, in my opinion. And I think that the authors looked at the information and were balanced.
Hmm. Well, it certainly is contentious in terms of the ophthalmologists on one side, the optometrists on the other. I believe the bill has been heard once in the House Health Committee, which is where it is right now, the House Committee on Health. It was not voted on there yet. I guess it's going to be heard again. Is the North Carolina Society of Eye Physicians and Surgeons, are you guys actively trying to meet with legislators? I don't mean you yourself, but do you have people representing your side of the story that are talking with the folks in the General Assembly and in the House and trying to get your message to them before this bill moves along?
Well, our society is very active, and I should say that we have about two-thirds of the ophthalmologists in North Carolina are members of the North Carolina Society of Eye Physicians and Surgeons. And across the board, people are very concerned about this dangerous bill and are actively working to protect patient safety.
So I guess that would mean that you are hoping to get your message to the General
and
Assembly.
Myself, I've been to Raleigh. Instead of going on vacation with my family, I did a staycation in Raleigh, and it was my great pleasure to meet with many legislators and educate them about the bill and the dangers of the bill. And so I'm someone I hardly ever miss work. And so I guess today's day 8 that I will have missed work, and I'm planning to go for 2 additional days next week.
Wow.
And it's very important. And people, some of the lobbyists were very surprised to see a physician there so much, but it's just so important. And I think this is just very concerning, and it keeps me up at night, frankly. I worry about patients. I worry about harm. And I just think there's no reason for it. Why put patients at risk? And would you mind if I brought up a survey that was done? Okay.
Absolutely.
There was a well-done survey of potential of voters in North Carolina looking at this issue. And basically 9 out of 10 people are against House Bill 36 and
Wow.
Senate Bill 342. And the reason is they put safety above anything else.
Wow.
So if there's a bit of inconvenience with travel, and honestly, we've looked at the access very closely, there's really not an access issue in North Carolina, and we can go in detail about that. But honestly, I can say definitively, access is not an issue. And you should not pass this bill and put the eye health of people at risk. And 90% of the public is against it.
Hmm.
And
access meaning how far somebody has to drive or to get an ophthalmologist?
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Sir.
So, and that's probably really not an issue. I mean,
we've looked at that carefully. We've looked at every county in North Carolina, and we've looked at every ophthalmology office to the best of our knowledge, and we've looked at driving times and distances, and the results are just really, really good.
Hmm.
Access is not an issue at all.
Now, here is what I was asking you about. You guys issued a release on March 21st, and it references this poll, but it says that 91% of likely voters, when optometrists were told that optometrists could perform eye surgery after attending only a 32-hour training course, they were very, very much opposed. So somehow, somewhere, this training course is part of all of this. And, you know, again, it's not in the bill, but apparently that's part of the plan as it stands right now, at least as far as I can understand it. And I guess, I mean, I don't think I would want somebody cutting on my eyes if they went to a 32-hour training course.
I think that reflects what is present in other states, because that's been looked into.
Okay.
And I don't think you'd want someone to be certified on you after lasering one human either.
Wow. When you put it that way.
Pretty frightening.
Yeah.
Again, it keeps me up at night.
So if there were one thing, and I think I know what your answer is going to be, but if there were one thing that you would really want people who are listening to this podcast to take away from our time together, Dr. Stoneburner, what would it be about this bill?
Well, I think it is dangerous. I think it's a radical departure from current surgical standards of care. And I think that the people get it. The public gets it. Mm. And I just want to say one thing, if I may.
Okay.
I would like to say optometrists are our friends.
Mm-hmm.
They are provide an excellent service to the public. And they're very much a very valued part of the quality eye care team.
Okay.
This is not anti-optometry. This is just promoting patient safety. And I think it's just common sense that surgery should be done by surgeons, and that the public expects the legislators to protect their health. And people don't want someone doing surgery on them who is not qualified, who's not gone through the training. And again, medical school, internship, residency, many people doing fellowships, that's a lot of training, 8 to 10 years, very intensive.
Yeah.
And very certified and regulated and so forth. And that's for the benefit of the public. And I think people get that.
Yeah. So what's kind of making me scratch my head a little bit is that apparently in California, there were challenges with some of the veterans and the care that they have received. We got this study from the Journal of American Medicine that seems to indicate that there are some challenges with care that has been received there. And yet these bills seem to be getting rammed through other legislatures. And I don't understand why, and you probably don't have an answer for this, but, you know, it seems like these other states should, and particularly North Carolina, should stop and say, wait a minute, let's look at what's happened elsewhere.
I think you raised such a good point there, and I really appreciate that. And please realize that it's only 3 states that this is in. And 47 states have said no. So I hope that helps. And as far as the VA, even in those states where it's allowed by the state law, the VA medical system says no. They are not allowing laser surgery by a person who is not a surgeon, who's not been to medical school and had the appropriate training, medical and surgical training. There are no shortcuts.
You know, it's interesting about that. You bring up an interesting point. I just had this thought. When I hear there's a lot of laser advertising on the radio, and oftentimes it's not clear that the person doing that, you know, has to be an ophthalmologist. You know what I mean? And so I think that vacuum there of clarity would make it easy for certain procedures to be done by optometrists if this bill were to pass. In other words, I think people would say, oh, yeah, well, you know, he's my optometrist. He can do this. And so they might not be aware of some of the risks.
And that's why we have protections in place for the public. And that's why the Board of Medicine here in North Carolina has very stringent rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's dangerous to take surgery out of the hands of the Board of Medicine and put it in a Board of Optometry where they're not medical doctors and not surgeons for them to self-determine, when the rest of us in medicine are under the medical board, and it really is there to protect the patients and protect the public. And your eyes are important. Your vision's so precious, and we cannot fix everything. So yeah. We want to have the best for our citizens, and I think they deserve that here in North Carolina.
One last question. The bill is kind of an exclusionary bill, because it says that you can do these procedures except for, and it lists 17 procedures, and then 18 says procedures performed under general anesthesia. So taking 17 procedures, are there a lot of others that, in other words, when you start listing eye surgeries or eye procedures, how long is the list?
It's quite a long list. And some is, for instance, we did compile that for the legislators for their benefit.
Okay.
And we came up with well over 200 surgeries.
Whoa.
And basically, just about everything we do, minus a few exclusions. So very sweeping in scope and frightening.
So this is only 17 that they are prohibited from doing. And you're saying there's a couple of hundred. And
for instance, one of those says not to inject into the posterior chamber. Well, the posterior chamber is extraordinarily small. No one injects into the posterior chamber. If you just read that, perhaps you'd think the vitreous is what they're talking about, where you had your injection. And so this bill actually would allow injections into the vitreous, like you yourself had inside your eye. Although it says injections to the posterior chamber are prohibitive, but no one injects in the posterior chamber that anyone I know of knows.
Yeah.
And for instance, LASIK is specifically not allowed,
right.
Excluded, but there's LASIK, there's epiLASIK, there's intralase, and so forth. Penetrating keratoplasty is not allowed, but deep anterior lamellar keratoplasty would be allowed. DSEC, DMEC, all kinds of other surgical procedures that are basically cornea transplants that are partial thickness would be allowed under this bill. And just for your information, it's very rare that I would ever do a procedure under general anesthesia.
Oh, really? So they don't knock people out for most eye?
This would not be general. Many people have monitored anesthesia care. Topical is actually how I do most of my surgeries, some with local injections. Most people have some IV sedation to help them be relaxed and comfortable. But it is super duper rare that I would do a surgery under general. And most ophthalmology type surgeries are not under general. By a vast.
So yeah. Excluding that really is not that big of a deal.
I haven't done a case under general for years.
Really? How about that? Well, I'm impressed that you were able to say some of those big words that I don't think I could ever say in my life, but I'm joking. But
I didn't mean to throw big words.
It's all very complex, and I think that's what I'm taking away from our time together, is that if, in fact, that something like this is going to be passed in North Carolina, people should be aware of the differences in training. And, you know, there's a school of thought that says we don't need regulations like this. Let's just let the optometrists do it, and the market will sort it out. In other words, if somebody's hacking up people's eyes, nobody's going to go to them. You know what I mean? And eventually, it'll all work itself out.
Well, first of all, we don't want to have someone subjective to the danger, and we cannot fix everything.
Yeah.
And we don't want someone to lose their vision like you're suggesting. And it's interesting because, as you say, the kind of deregulatory focus of perhaps the Republicans in office, they should know that in the survey we were referring to, that the whole public is against this. This is not a Republican issue or a Democrat issue,
right.
Old or young. Every race, every demographic is against it.
Hmm.
And I mean by like 90% pretty much across the board. And really, people in rural areas, urban areas, old, young, east, west part of the state, that kind of thing are against this, male, female, and so forth. But the really interesting thing is that you kind of brought up or alluded to is actually the Republicans are more against this than most other groups.
Yeah.
So I think that's because they value a safety and they want their legislators to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to a doctor and the doctor can do a procedure, you need to make sure you have confidence that that doctor is well-trained.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think we'll leave it right there. Dr. Stoneburner, thank you so much for joining us. And yes, website. Tell us where to go.
There is some, if you'd like more information, please go to safesurgerync.com. Again, safesurgerync.com. I think you'll be glad you did. And let's promote safe surgery here in North Carolina. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being our guest. And safesurgerync.com. I just pulled it up. There it is. And encourage our listeners to go there and look and see. Well, this is interesting. Surgeries performed by optometrists 2.5 more times likely to be repeated than surgeries performed by ophthalmologists. So that's interesting right there.
That was in that JAMA article that you were referring to. Okay. So this website has a lot of really good information, and I hope people will take the time to go and look, because I think being educated about this issue is so important.
Absolutely.
And there is an opportunity to communicate directly with your legislator from the website if you would like to. And I think they need to know, in this case, I actually think the public might be ahead of the legislators in recognizing the dangers of this surgery. And again, we are not anti-optometry. We really respect optometrists and value the contributions. And they're very important to the patient care quality team. We just want to promote patient safety and safe surgery here in North Carolina. And thank you so much for this time and this opportunity. I sincerely appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you being our guest here on What Matters in North Carolina, and encourage people to go to safesurgerync.com for more information, or to contact their member in the North Carolina General Assembly. Doctor, thank you very much.
Thank you again.
All right. I think Dr. Stoneburner would very much agree with the statement that the ophthalmologists in North Carolina that she represents are opposed to House Bill 6. She made that pretty clear and very compelling as far as patient safety. And, you know, it's kind of chilling. And I explained, not to get all that personal with you on this program, but, you know, I've got this thing going on with my eye, and I explained that to her, and it was interesting that that's going on during this time, because I'm also writing about this. You'll find that at NC Capital Connection in a day or so, maybe later today. But, you know, eye care is important, and I'm not going to give an opinion on this. I'm not going to take either side. I'm not going to support the optometrists. I'm not going to support the ophthalmologists. That's not what I'm supposed to do. I am facilitating information for you here on What Matters in North Carolina. But I will say to you that I am compelled, listening to Dr. Stoneburner, to consider very seriously what she is saying about patient safety. And this, I'm trying to find, and apparently this is the way they've done it in a couple of other states, but if it's true that optometrists can go to a weekend class or a 32-hour class and start performing some of these procedures, I don't think that that's going to go over too well. But anyway, there is a whole other train of thought on this that says the market will weed all of this stuff out. The problem is those who go and maybe have problems, you know, so the word can get out and the market can then kick in, and, you know, you'll know who is not providing good care, and you won't go to that person, and they'll eventually run out of business. So there's two sides to the coin, obviously, but I am very much just very excited and pleased to have had the opportunity to speak with Dr. Sarah Stoneburner and hear her side and the ophthalmologist's side of how they feel about House Bill 36. She's very genuine, very gracious, very busy. So coming here to Raleigh and sitting down with us in the studio, I really appreciate that. We really appreciate you, our listener. Hope that you will continue to stay tuned to What Matters in North Carolina. And very, very excited about tomorrow. You ever notice how I say that at the end of every show? It's because, folks, it just keeps coming. We're just really fortunate right now. The topics and the guests that we are being able to deliver on this program, they just keep me excited personally. And tomorrow we're going to have for you Lieutenant General Daniel Bolger. Now, he's retired, but he's going to be a featured guest at the ICON Lecture Series coming up on April 25th, talking about slow death, assessing America's war on terrorism. And how timely is that topic in light of the big bomb that was dropped on ISIS and now all of this stuff going on in North Korea? And we're hoping that Lieutenant General Daniel Bolger will be able to help us make sense of what's going on in America's war on terrorism. So you do not want to miss tomorrow's episode of What Matters in North Carolina. And I need to remind you that the Civitas Institute is having their next poll lunch, and that will be held on April 25th. And for more information, you can go to nccivitas.org and register and sign up for the next Civitas poll lunch. Look forward to seeing you there. My name is Mark Shiver. So glad to have had you listening today to the program, and we'll look forward to getting together with you again next time on What Matters in North Carolina.